All right, guys, are we seeing the making of another election infection? That's what we're going to tackle today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? It is Monday, November the 27th. This is End Time Headlines. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. We want to welcome everybody listening by Apple, by Spotify, you guys watching by Rumble, by YouTube, and by Facebook Live. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, welcome to the broadcast. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new, and that if this is your first time, let us know that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. As always, guys, we would appreciate it if you hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. This is what pushes our material and our programs out there on these algorithms, on these systems in which we listen to. People listen to the program or they watch it. This is how we're able to get our content out as well. And if you'd like to follow our ministry, keep up with everything that we're doing, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can just go to your Play Store, depending on what device you have. Type in End Time Headlines if you're listening. Once you see the official trademark ETH logo, just hit that download to on that Play Store, wherever you get yours from. Hit the yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. All right, so the U.S. is sounding the alarm. Here we go again. This is another, it's almost like a repeat, guys. We're on that four-year election cycle. The United States is sounding the alarm after a new Chinese pneumonia outbreak is raising, quote, serious questions. From the Daily Wire, U.S. officials began expressing concern this week about a new outbreak in respiratory illnesses in China that have sent a surge of children to the hospital.
As the country deals with a rise in respiratory illnesses and clusters of pneumonia in children, the World Health Organization formally asking Beijing for more details on the spike in cases. Britt Clennett has more from Hong Kong. Britt, good morning.
Good morning, Whit. Yeah, China has given more information on these outbreaks of pneumonia among children, telling the WHO that it is not seeing any unusual or novel pathogens. Now, Chinese local media reported earlier that some hospitals in northern China are at capacity with young patients as clusters of what was originally reported as undiagnosed pneumonia have been on the rise since last month. But these have now been attributed to common viruses like the flu, like RSV and other bacterial illnesses. Now,
so this is pretty much a mirror of what we're seeing in the United States. This is exactly what's going on in the United States. There's that uptick of the influenza virus, the RSV, all these other pathogens. And again, I cannot say too much here, guys, because if I do, this will get taken down. It'll get shadow banned. But when you suppress people, as long as we did and suppress them from public and not allow them to build up their immune systems, this is what can happen. This could be likely what's happening. But again, when the other pandemic took place, the last pandemic, it started out like this as well. And they underplayed it. They downplayed it. They kind of swept it under the rug. So again, I hope that's not the case, what we're seeing here, that this is being, because again, if you're going to trust what's coming out of China, as far as a report or their information or their update regarding this, I mean, really, we can go back and look at the data from the last time this took place and they were doing the same thing and it was far worse than what they were telling us. Again, let's go back to this.
Health authorities note the uptick in cases may actually be because this is China's first flu season since it lifted its very strict COVID restrictions. And much like what you'll remember happening in the US, an influx of kids becoming ill when those lockdowns ended. But the WHO says it is closely monitoring the situation.
All right. So again, this mysterious pneumonia outbreak, the thing that's intriguing to me is they cannot tell you what it is. If it is RSV, if it is influenza, if it is, you know, one of these normal strains or whatever, why are they telling us it's a mystery pneumonia? And it's interesting that it's impacting children when the last time this went around, it was impacting who? Mainly the elderly. So now it went from the elderly, now it's the children. Again, reports are saying that this mysterious pneumonia outbreak has left China hospitals overwhelmed with sick children. In fact, here's a report from the U.S. Sun, quote, desperate parents clutch children hooked to IVs on hospital floors as China's mystery pneumonia outbreak worsens. And here's another video on this. Let me read this here. Families lined up in the hallways of Beijing's China's hospital on Thursday amid an increase in respiratory illnesses and reported clusters of pneumonia in children. And then you guys that are watching the visual of this, you can see where there's just the hospitals are full of children lined up all through the hallways in the corridors. Again, the World Health Organization has asked Beijing for details of the increase. Good luck on that, which Chinese authorities attributed to the lifting of COVID restrictions. Again, guys, look at the amount. This is in a hospital. Look at the amount of people that are in this hospital attributed to this. A doctor in a hospital in Dalian said the outbreak was of concern, but, quote, controllable. Well, again, guys, this is what we were told last time. She took her own teenage daughter to a hospital with a lung infection that was successfully treated with medicine. Let's go ahead and fast forward this. She said for lung infections, there is certain irreversible damage. There are many viruses that we could not fully understand. This is why it's concerning. Some are curable and some are not. After COVID, our life is at risk because of viral infections. So people must have fears about it. Another thing is the school is now operating normally since the COVID restrictions are lifted. The Education Bureau did not have any notifications about having online courses. Since children are getting sick on a large scale, so the children need to take days off from school. Quote, if they feel sick, and teachers also warned us parents not to bring them to school. And we're just going to mute this, guys, and read this for you. If they don't feel well and rest at home, if they rest at home, their studies might be affected. Then there's another report that China's COVID trauma returns as hazmat workers are seen in the streets, again, disinfecting the streets. This is according to Newsweek.com. According to the report, public health workers wearing full protective gear have once again appeared on the streets of northern China, according to footage that's been broadcasted to social media, evoking memories of the country's stringent antivirus measures during the COVID pandemic. According to the report, the hazmat-clad personnel were seen spraying disinfectant in public spaces in certain provinces in the northern sections of China, roughly 50 miles east of the capital of Beijing. According to the poster of the images and video footage, it remains unclear whether this was a local government initiative or central government directive. The reemergence of the gear, however, has raised speculation about the potential return of pandemic-era restrictions amid a surge of respiratory illnesses, notably among children, which has strained hospitals in the region. So again, guys, if this is controllable, nothing of concern, again, questions have to arise. Number one is, why are we seeing this again? Number two, there one individual who was a nurse came through and said that there are some cases that are manageable and others that are not. There's infections that are concerning. They're mysterious. They don't know the origin of them. And here, you have these hazmat crews sweeping the streets of certain provinces of China, just like they did during the last pandemic. In the past days, China's state-controlled media have reported on hospitals in Beijing Tianjin and other northern areas operating at maximum capacity. Beijing Children's Hospital alone reported admitting over 7,000 daily cases. I want to say that again. 7,000 cases in one day. And their children. On one Chinese version of the short video sharing platform TikTok, there was video circulating showing disease prevention teams disinfecting a classroom and city streets while dressed from head to toe in hazmat suits. So, folks, we got all this going on. Again, it's almost like it's resurfacing again. Now, I think it's ironic that literally last week we warned you that there is indicators from different entities, different elite groups, different organizations that have been warning us that it's not a matter of if, but when the next pandemic is here and that we will confront it, that we will be confronted with it rather. And I find it interesting. Remember, we reported on this, that the CDC has been working overtime, adding flu and RSV surveillance at major U.S. airports. Y'all remember this? We talked about this with Larry Ragland. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced recently that it will be expanding its respiratory viral surveillance of international travelers. Isn't it interesting that for some reason they felt that they needed to uptick this? They needed to increase the amount of surveillance that they have in the U.S. for international travelers. In 2022, the CDC launched its traveler-based genomic surveillance program, or other known as TGS, which is a public-private partnership to serve as an early warning detection system at U.S. airports for COVID-19 variants. The voluntary program involves taking nasal samples from international travelers coming into the U.S. with selective positive samples being sent to the CDC. According to the report, the agency is expanding these efforts by testing for more than 30 other additional pathogens, including RSV and the flu. The pilot program will launch at 4 U.S. airports, which are the Kennedy International, the San Francisco Airport, Logan International Airport, and the Dulles Airport. The expansion of the traveler-based genomic surveillance program to flu, RSV, and other pathogens is, quote, essential as we head into fall respiratory season, and we're there. We're here now. And here we are. We have this strange, mysterious pneumonia that is exploding in China, that's overwhelming hospitals, affecting children. The TGS program, which began during the pandemic, acted as an early warning system to detect new and rare variants of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, and will do the same for other respiratory viruses going forward. Since this thing has launched last year, it has enrolled more than 360,000 anonymous volunteers covering flights from over 135 countries. Then we reported on this. UK scientists have been already in the works of developing vaccines as an insurance against a new pandemic caused by an unknown disease X. We talked about this last week. We've talked about this with Larry Ragland. They are already working on vaccines to counter what they're calling a disease X that is not a matter of if, but when it will crop up, it will emerge, and it will impact the world. In fact, they even drew up a threat list of animal viruses. Keep this in mind, animal viruses that are capable of infecting humans and could in the future spread rapidly around the planet. Which of them will break through and trigger the next pandemic is unknown, and this is why it's referred to as Disease X. One professor at a UK health security agency told Sky News that, quote, what we're trying to do here is ensure that we prepare so that if we have a new disease X or a new pathogen, we have done as much of that work in advance as possible. Quote, hopefully we can prevent it. That is a pandemic. But if we cannot and we have to respond, then we have already begun developing vaccines and therapeutics to crack it. Now, consequently, as of the reporting of this podcast, as of today, on November the 27th, on this Monday night, the United Kingdom has detected its first human case of a new strain of swine flu. According to the BBC News, health officials are investigating the first confirmed case of a new strain of swine flu in the United Kingdom. Known as AH1N2, this infection was detected in a routine flu screening test at a GP surgery in North Yorkshire. Officials said the person had respiratory symptoms, a mild illness, and had fully recovered. They are not known to have worked with pigs, and investigations will look at where the infection came from and its risk to human health. Let me say that again. They do not know where the infection came from, and they do not know the risk it has to human health, but it is not known that this individual worked with pigs. In other words, they're ruling that out. They're saying that he had no connection with swine. So there's a full investigation of where this came from. How did he contract it? And does it pose a risk to humans? That's what they're trying to figure out here. Now, this also comes as we got the report of another egg farm, another mass slaughtering of 1.3 million chickens amid a ongoing bird flu outbreak. And this latest one is from Ohio. So this makes, what, four locations in the U.S. that have all had to slaughter over a million chickens in the midst of this ongoing bird flu outbreak. This latest one comes from a farm in Ohio's Union County that has, again, slaughtered 1.3 million chickens there to help limit the spread of a highly contagious virus after a case was confirmed in the flock this week. The outbreak, which began in early of 2022, has been much less severe this year as fewer cases of the virus are being found among the wild birds that spread it. But there has been to date over 8 million chickens that have all been slaughtered because of this disease. Then you have this bizarre story. If you haven't seen this story, this was pretty just crazy, in my opinion. A kitten that was rescued, a five-week-old kitten that was rescued recently tested positive for a, and I'll give you the quote here, a rare form of rabies. This the rabies scare that this thing induced. Look at this headline, guys. I'm just going to read this to you. Kitten sparks huge rabies scare that could put 7 million Americans at risk after catching virus, then scratching and biting 10 people before dying. Again, according to the report, this five-week-old tuxedo kitten tested positive for what they're saying is a rare form of rabies. This was in the state of Nebraska. The variant is normally linked to raccoons and has never been seen in Nebraska. If not contained, 7 million Americans could be at risk of exposure to this fatal disease. However, human-to-human transmission is virtually impossible, scientists believe. Well, hold on now. Stop. Scientists believe it's virtually impossible. But remember, the same scientists that tell you it's virtually impossible for this to happen are the same ones preparing vaccines for a disease X that, again, and I'm quoting from these articles that I just showed you, that is a form of disease that's transmitted through an animal virus or a pathogen that has perhaps never been seen before. So on one hand, they tell you it's impossible. But on the other hand, they're saying, well, we're going to prepare just in the event that it does, that the impossible becomes possible. Come on, are you listening to me today? This is why we talk about this stuff. Listen, I'd love much rather to be preaching the gospel, but as a watchman, we got to preach this stuff too. We got to inform you of what's going on. We got to give you these headlines. And remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will be pestilences in the last days. He said there will be pestilences. He didn't tell you where the source of them will be. He didn't say specifically that they would come from an animal, from a laboratory, from a concoction, from an invention, from a government agency. He just said there will be pestilences, plural tense.
A health alert this afternoon warns us about a new level of concern over rabies in Douglas County.
We knew last week that a kitten tested positive for rabies. This afternoon, we learned the strain of rabies is not native to this area. So a sweeping effort is underway to trap, test, and vaccinate wildlife. KETV NewsWatch 7's Cal Larson is live with the breaking news.
Even the wildlife is getting in on the vaccinations. Isn't that interesting?
Bill, Julie, the health department is looking at a 3-mile radius from where that cat was found. That's almost all of eastern Omaha. Take a look at this map. The zone runs from 72nd Street between F Street on the south and Fort Street on the north, all the way east to the Missouri River. Officials say if you live in this area, you can expect to see federal agriculture in the coming weeks. It's not exactly clear how the cat contracted rabies. Experts just know the cat had the raccoon strain. They know at least 10 people had contact with the cat and that contact tracing was completed. Today, an appeal for help from the public.
Report any stray animals, regardless of their behavior or any wildlife that is acting unusual. This could mean more aggressive, looking confused, exceptionally timid, or if they're drooling. Keep an eye on those pets. Please get them vaccinated.
Wow.
So people in that target area could start seeing officials with the USDA knocking on their door, or they could start receiving letters from the USDA asking to set up traps in their yard for stray or wild animals. The health department is asking people cooperate because if this continues any longer or longer than they expect, that geographic area could expand.
That geographic location could expand. So get your animals vaccinated. It's intriguing to me. Isn't it? This is so bizarre, guys, the world that we live in today. Now, remember all this, and I started thinking about this when I was putting all this together. We got all this going on, these strange pestilences, diseases, and these pathogens, and but unforeseen this, and never before seen this, and mystery this, and we got all this going on. Well, remember this story? Y'all remember that lab? Remember that secret lab they found in California?
Including this next story, the House Select Subcommittee on China that you're a part of says it found pathogens labeled HIV and Ebola inside a secret illegal Chinese-owned biolab in California. Here's an important moment from the hearing you took part in earlier this week. Watch.
How many of these labs exist throughout the country? We don't know that. There could be more Reedley Californias around the country.
Every elected official in this country should be concerned about whether an illicit lab with dangerous infectious substances could be hiding in their community.
It has been almost a year since the discovery of the illegal lab, and we are still working to remove the chemicals and illegal medical devices on site.
You asked the main question, Congressman, are there more of these in a city or town near you? But there are a lot of other questions. Why do the Chinese have a lab like this on U.S. soil to begin with? What possible reason could there be for having these pathogens in society in the first place? And why did the FBI and CDC choose initially not to investigate?
Hello, that should be a huge ding, 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 ding.
So many questions, Congressman.
Yes, we absolutely have way more questions than answers at this point. It's very concerning. My thanks go out to the very observant code enforcement officer, Harper, in Reedley, California, for paying attention to something that was out of the ordinary and discovering this. But it certainly has pointed out many gaps in our ability to make sure that these kind of things don't exist in our country and what kind of investigative procedures should be taken. How does this happen where a known criminal from another country country that comes into the United States illegally and opens up this lab and buys all of these biological pathogens that could pose a threat to public safety.
Think about the magnitude of what he just said. We got to rewind that. The magnitude of what this man just said right here, should keep you up at night right there. If you don't know the Lord and you're not saved, I'm telling you, if I didn't know the Lord, didn't have a relationship with God, didn't have a prayer life, didn't have any of these things, didn't know the word and have the peace of God, that right there, that little phrase he just said is enough to keep somebody up at night. Let me play this again.
Things don't exist in our country, and what kind of investigative procedures should be taken? How does this happen where a known criminal from another country comes into the United States illegally and opens up this lab and buys all of these biological pathogens?
How did he buy them? With what money? Who was he purchasing from? Who had them to begin with? Remember this, and I'm going to show you this report. When we get done with this, I'll show you a report, and it kind of ties in with this.
That could pose a threat to public safety. A lot of questions, way more questions than answers at this point. I'm so glad that our committee is being able to look at this, investigate this, so we know what kind of actions to take to prevent these kind of things from happening throughout the country. We have to respond to this.
Yeah, the Chinese fly a spy balloon over mainland USA. Yeah. They have police stations in New York City run by the CCP, and now they're running labs. None of this makes sense.
That's not the only thing they're doing, folks. Growing numbers of Chinese migrants are crossing the southern border, and the question is why? Why are they doing it? Where are they? And what is their intent? According to one report, despite the distances involved and the difficulties of the journey, listen to this number, 24,000 Chinese citizens have been apprehended. These are the ones that have been apprehended. What about the ones that didn't? They were apprehended crossing into the U.S. from Mexico in this past year alone, 24,000. That is more than in the preceding 10 years combined, according to government data.
In the wake of President Biden's meeting with China's president, we turn now to a story about the big increase in Chinese migrants coming through the U.S. border down in Mexico. Border Patrol agents arrested more than 24,000 Chinese people for crossing the U.S. southern border illegally over the past year through September. That's more than 10 times higher than the previous year, and part of the overall rise in illegal border crossings that has made headlines. Elizabeth Palmer shows us why the Chinese migrants are willing to risk everything for a chance to make it to America.
A group of migrants struggle through the rain and mud of the Panamanian jungle toward the U.S. border. Wei Wei Wang is one of them. I'm surviving on chocolate bars, he says, and running out of drinking water. He videoed the whole grueling trek undertaken by people from all over the world, including recently a record number from China. Since January, border officials have processed more than 10 times as many Chinese migrants as last year. A surge of people with their hopes crushed by China's weak economy, repression, and corruption. The government wanted my family's land, Chen Yixiao explains. And he's got video of what he says are thugs sent to beat them up. At the border, American volunteers help out the new arrivals. Samuel Schultz.
We're used to seeing border crossers here, Central Americans, Mexicans, trying to avoid the Border Patrol. And here we have this giant mass of Asians coming in saying, please arrest me. Where's the guy who's going to arrest me?
The route is an open secret. First from China to Quito in Ecuador, which Chinese can enter without a visa, and then onward with detailed online advice. In this video, for example, a guide shows Quito Airport on Google Maps. If you land at night, he says, don't go outside. Next morning, catch the bus to Tolcan and carry on north. The online cartoons make it look easy. It's not.
So it is really sad, guys, because of the persecution, the communism and the dictatorship that they live under in their own country. And I can understand that, and many of them trying to escape that. But again, we have to ask ourselves, is there malicious intent? I find it hard to believe that every one of these individuals have that intent, and there's nobody in that group of these individuals that has malicious intents. Because remember, there has been many other, China has come in, they've been buying up land in the U.S., they've been buying up farmland, there's been all these things. Some of these people have been caught doing nefarious things. You have a Chinese lab that was created.
Katie, I want to start with you. Latest on the council that I've heard is that they actually approved this Chinese farm near an Air Force base. You are the only one who voted no, Katie. Tell us why.
Well, there's a couple of different reasons why. I think that for my constituency, it's really important because it is going to be the closest to my ward. We have a lot of industrial buildings and businesses in our area where there is a significant odor that happens with them. There also are trucks, there are also trains. There's a significant impact for residents in our area that is based on just development. It's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just it does impact my ward specifically. I also had a lot of interactions with residents in my ward who had lots of questions. And so for me, it was important to vote no until we got more answers. I think that we also could have slowed down our timeline of implementation, and that would have given us a little bit more time for people to engage in a way that they felt more comfortable or perhaps more heard or more opportunity to engage. So there's a lot of different reasons of why I chose to vote no at that juncture.
Katie, what percentage of the people in your ward would you say are against this Chinese-owned farm?
I don't know if I would be so bold as to say that there's a percentage I could come up with. People who feel very strongly one way or the other are the ones that typically will reach out. So I've definitely had folks who were not for the development for a lot of different reasons reach out to me. But I also had farmers and businessmen and women in the community reach out to me that were in support of its development. So I would say at this point, probably for the folks that reached out to me, it would be maybe half and half, but that's certainly not speaking for the entire ward.
Okay, half and half. Interesting. Jeannie, the farm, you saw the graphic there, 15 miles away from this Air Force base. I read the statement that the Air Force put out. Do you think, Jeannie, it's just a coincidence that they want to build this farm so close to the base? Is it something that concerns you? I know you recused yourself from the vote.
Yeah, so it was important for me to recuse myself because I worked at an engineering company that was involved with some of the task orders that were associated with that development agreement. So I wanted to make sure that there wasn't any impropriety or sense.
So again, we have to listen. The bottom line is we need to be awake. We need to be alert. We need to be vigilant about what's going on. And these things are only going to increase. So again, pestilences, famines, all these things, and I think it's ironic that it seems like there's this cycle. There's this cycle that always comes about, and it's usually every 4 years we see these new viral strains or whatever, these pathogens that just so happen to pop up on these 4 year cycles. So again, use discernment, be awake, be vigilant, and pay attention to what's going on. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, that's our main website. Please don't forget to bookmark it. Download our free app. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry, podcast, all of our headlines, all of it's going to be there. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. Guys, listen. We appreciate you coming on here tonight. Tomorrow, for you guys that love the equipping messages, we've got a great message lined up for tomorrow. There was a headline that came out this week. I want to kind of bring that up as a talking point. And I felt like there was something out of the book of Acts I wanted to pull out and show you some stuff that why we it is essential that the next generation or this current generation, the Gen Zs, it is essential that we do whatever we can. When I say we, I'm talking about us, the older generation. We have to make a way for these individuals to experience a genuine move of God. It is our hope for our nation, guys. What happens when all of us go on to be with the Lord, if the Lord tarries and we go on to be with the Lord, We have to have another generation that's going to carry this baton. We have to have another generation that's going to continue the work of the gospel and spreading the gospel into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow on Tuesday the 28th on our 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. broadcast. Until then, guys, again, we want to ask you if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, it informs you, it gives you revelation, knowledge, whatever the case may be, all of the above. We want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on the bottom. It's easy. Just click on that donate button. You can give there electronically, or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. So, again, we appreciate you coming on tonight. Don't forget to share this. Get this out there. Hit that bell notification. This is just going to push our material and our messages out on these algorithms. So we're going to sign off for tonight, guys. Again, don't forget to come back tomorrow night. You're going to love it. If you love the equipping, encouraging messages, you don't want to miss tomorrow night's message. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.